You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are. Welcome to another episode of Sweat, Snot and Tears. I hope you're all right. I'm trying to think of fun news to share with you all. The biggest thing I can think of, and trust me, it's big, the trampoline's back. We took it down when we moved, but we noticed how much fun they had on other people's trampolines over the summer, so it's back. I'm staring at it now, and it's so freaking ugly. Wendy, where is the balance to be struck between living a life of niceness and actually sharing your home with children?
We have a trampoline. It's huge. It's ugly. I can see it now. My dog is underneath it having a poo, actually. That's nice. Oh my god.
It's all fun and
it's
games.
All fun. So we have a playroom, not a 50 Shades style playroom, a kids style playroom.
Yeah,
where I can
would
shut
be a very
the door
pod.
And so my take on it is, if you can throw it in the playroom and shut the door and not see it at the end of the day, I'm okay with that. But having said that, it's my eldest's 10th birthday.
I know, double figures. We've been doing this shit for a decade.
And the trouble is, the amount of shit that has now arrived in my house this morning via present form means I don't think it's going to fit in the goddamn playroom.
What did she get?
Every single thing that's ever been made with Harry Potter on it. Lego, hoodies, books, wands, you name it. Harry Potter has invaded my house. Anyway, they don't want to listen to us, Annie. They really don't.
No, I know. I just want to ask one more thing. I hear your dad's there deconstructing a bed. Why?
Oh, it's a long story, listeners. So the short version is, my littlest has got a very small bedroom and our friends gave us a cabin bed that they were getting rid of. So we put up the cabin bed at great labour, lots of swearing, lots
nearly
of fingers.
Nearly a divorce, all of those things.
It's really high and she doesn't like it and she keeps wetting the bed because she can't get out in the night to have a wee.
Poor little sausage.
And it makes her sad and now she's having nightmares and she won't go to bed. So I've thrown money at the problem, went to John Lewis, bought a bed, and Dad is taking down the offending cabin bed upstairs. Cue more swearing. So listeners,
what bed has she got instead?
Just a really boring single bed.
Is there going to be a day where she says, I'm not scared of the cabin bed anymore, Mummy, can you put it back?
She can. Beep, 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 off. Is what she can do.
Amazing. Great. Well, I'm glad to hear that your life is as chaotic and ridiculous as mine. Now, I think we should put all of our parenting questions to today's guest, host of her own Q&A pod for kids, Everything Under the Sun. And did you know she used to write the questions for QI? In fact, she wrote them for 12 years. Welcome, Molly Oldfield. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime, anytime.
Mm. Now, our first question, Molly.
Yes.
Very serious question. Any sweat, snot or tears in your house this morning?
No sweat, no snot, but a tear.
Why?
Yours? Not mine, my son's. So I put a podcast out every Friday and I was just listening to it this morning, just making sure if I needed any edits. And last week we had Stephen Fry on the podcast and he was talking about...
Just casually drop that in. Just had a friend called Stephen.
I feel like he lives here because we have the Harry Potter stories on so much and he narrates them.
We go to sleep
it's
to it
literally
night.
Like he lives in my downstairs loo and just narrates Harry Potter.
He's like a member of your family.
I wish he was. We might all be a bit clever.
Such a soothing voice.
So go on, the pod's tomorrow.
So, it was about the god Apollo. I mean, a little boy called Jack asked me, why do all the Greek and Roman gods have different names for their gods except Apollo? And I was like, oh, they do? Okay. So I asked Stephen, he did the answer. And then I ran a competition after it to win two copies of my new book of the podcast, Everything Under the Sun. And in it, I said to kids, if you want to win a signed copy of the book, send me, think about the gods and think about their superpowers and send me what you'd love to have as a superpower.
Right.
So I was playing it to my son this morning because I thought he'd find it funny. And they were saying things like, hi, I'm Amanda and I would love invisibility power. And what Alex said, I'm 4 and I would like to be able to swim like a penguin so I can explore the oceans. And then this little girl called Aureliana, she said, I'd like to be like a cheetah so that I could run really fast and not have to go in the car. And then my son started crying and he said, I want cheetah superpower. And I was like, okay, let's move swiftly on to
the next. So how old is he, Molly?
He's 4. So he really wants cheetah superpower. So he got a bit upset about that one.
I love how rational they are.
I am so rational.
But you've got a 1-year-old as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I do, so... yeah.
You're coming into the fully irrational, batshit crazy 2-year-old stage, aren't you?
Yeah, he's crazy. But he's quite chilled, actually, so long as, like, he's obsessed with watching helicopters taking off and landing on YouTube and diggers. So he'll sit there just watching diggers.
Have you been to Digger World or Digger Land or what it's called yet?
Yeah, I need to go to that with him. He's going to love that.
Oh, I'm glad I've got daughters.
No Digger World for you.
No Digger Land for me.
Now, one of the other first questions we like to ask our guests, so we can see what kind of state of mind they're in or and have been in for the last 18 months. How were your lockdowns?
The first one was horrific.
Everyone agrees with that one.
So bad. Oh, well, I had like a quite young baby. So he was born in October.
So you were pregnant?
No, I wasn't pregnant because he'd just been born in October. So he was like...
Oh, the October before the lockdown.
Yeah, so he was what, like November, December, January, February?
Right, got it.
5 months? And he was just terrible at sleeping. And my older one decided to be terrible at sleeping too. And everyone wanted to sleep pressed up next to me. And I got like serious like COVID fear, I think, because of all the hormones and stuff of a new baby. And I was just like, wouldn't let them... touch gates if we went for a walk, didn't want them. Yeah, I was just freaked. And everybody around us was so mean and wouldn't talk to children and would just like run in opposite directions from each other.
We had a bit of that on walks, actually. I once even had a woman shout at me and say, get away, it's too dangerous for you to be here. I was
just going on a walk. Would
just
my children?
Leave me alone. My sister-in-law had that in the sea. She'd really? Got in the sea with her kids and this woman came up to her and goes, you can't be in the sea. The government says we're not allowed to be in the sea. And she was like, since when can I not be in the sea?
Also, doesn't salt water, like, kill everything? I thought that's how the world worked. Oh, that could be a question for you, Molly, couldn't it?
Can the sea kill COVID?
Yes.
Stephen will know.
Yeah, we'll ask him. So it was rubbish. But the next two were actually fine because I wasn't so scared and my kids were... Well, one of them could go to nursery, which was really good.
Yes, we had much envy for the nursery parents.
Yeah, I was so happy about that. And it was also really nice because then even though you had to line up in crosses 2 metres apart wearing a mask, at least you could sort of wave at other mums and see some other humans, which was nice.
So did anything good come out of it for you? Are there lasting happy memories?
We were living in a rented cottage and we realised it was too flipping small and we managed to buy a house, which we love now, which was awesome.
That's pretty good.
That was really good. Got a trampoline as well in the garden now.
Oh, everyone's bloody got one.
Yeah. And then the other really good thing was actually the podcast did really well because lots of kids were at home in lockdown and I think they really loved hearing each other's voices. And I got some really nice coverage, like it was in the Sunday Times style, like what's hot, and it said like download now for homework. Hell, you know, homeschool hell. And it was in the Evening Standard and the Telegraph.
Yeah, and you won a very shiny award, didn't you?
Yeah,
didn't
I won. Yeah,
Best Family Pod of the Year.
Bronze in the Best Family Podcast Show. Yeah, the British Podcast Awards.
Get you. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
It was really, really cool. So, yeah, the podcast had a nice time. I didn't make it in the first lockdown because I just couldn't. But then once I got my head around the whole thing, then I made it again. And it was really great. And I think it was nice for children to... Yeah, hear each other's voices when they're at home.
Yes, because they so weren't used to... Yeah, you're normally used to fighting with 30 other voices in a very small room, aren't they?
Suddenly they're all home with their parents.
Now, I've read that the question that sparked the pod was, can blue whales speak to killer whales?
Yes.
So, can you answer it, please? Because I've been wondering that ever since I read that.
Question one on the podcast and question one in the book. Do you want me to read it to you? Please. Well, I'll just tell you because I know the
just
answer.
Just tell me.
So, killer whales aren't actually whales, they're dolphins.
Stop. Stop. Mind blown. Are you serious?
Yeah, they're the largest member of the dolphin family.
So why do we call them whales?
Because they got their confusing name hundreds of years ago when sailors saw them attacking whales and called them whale killers. And then that somehow got flipped around over time, you know, the way the like language does, to killer whales. And yeah, but now you're not really meant to call them killer whales. You're meant to call them orcas. So that was a bit less confusing, I guess.
This is like a lesson.
Wendy, yeah. We need to rethink our whole lives.
So actually it's quite fun on the podcast because say this is a sound for killer whale and it sounds obviously like a dolphin. You know, they make those sort of funny... Yeah, exactly. And blue whales have these like really deep, slow songs that can travel for thousands of miles through the ocean. So I sort of said it would be a bit like if you tried to talk to a sheep, like you could try, but they're not really going to understand what you're saying.
Wow.
Although I actually said that exact thing at a talk for Penguin Random House for the book. And then Michael Morpurgo came up to me afterwards and he was like, oh, by the way, sheep can talk. And I was like, really? He said, well, every single book I've ever written, I've got sheep at the end of my garden and I go down there and I read them my new books. And if they like it, then I know I'm onto something. But if they look bored, then I have to go back and give it a rewrite. So it's quite sweet.
That is an amazing anecdote. We're mildly Morpurgo obsessed in our house.
He's amazing, isn't he? So nice.
He really is. And he's written so many books. I don't get how he has the time.
Well, how do you have the time, Molly? Really? Two kids.
Yeah.
Podcast. I hear there's a shed involved.
I'm in my shed. Yeah, I have a shed in the garden.
Are you in your shed now?
Listeners, I'm in my shed. She's looking in what looks to be a very glamorous location. So I don't believe it's a shed. It looks like a house.
It's a shed. Look, well, I don't know if I can turn my computer screen. See, there's the window.
Oh, very nice window seat arrangement going on. So are kids allowed in the shed or is it a mum-only zone?
Yeah, they're always in here. They've got this obsession with watching, like, Incy Wincy Spider and, like, songs on my computer screen while they, like, sit on the... We've got this, like, bed here, which people sometimes sleep in. And they like to get really cosy in there and then watch all their favourite, like, things on my screen.
I think so, I'd like to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's very cosy. I wrote half of my book with Incy Wincy Spider on one screen, half of the screen, and then my Word document on the other half of the screen.
Mum tasking.
Are you ever tempted to go lie in the bed when you should be working?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Do you do it?
Tempted to do that.
And do you?
Yeah, of course I do that. Yeah. But my worst sound is like thud, 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 which means... One child is coming up the steps, clonk, the door opens, and then in they come. They're like, can I do colour in? I want to do... They love pressing the printer. They just love trashing everything.
So do you have to do lots of re-recording bits because little people have appeared?
Well, when I'm recording the podcast, I make sure that, like, their dad or my grandma or we have a babysitter, like, I make sure that they're here and, like, holding them back for, like, 15 minutes while I'm doing the actual recording bit.
Tying them up with skipping ropes.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's exactly how Wendy and I approach this podcast.
Yeah.
So you're obviously around your kids a lot because you're working from your shed.
Yeah.
And they're up the other end in the house.
Yeah.
But I was interested, I was reading today, so I don't know if anyone knows, but your dad is Mike Oldfield of Tubular Bells fame.
Yeah.
And he's famously said in the past that he feels like he didn't give you and your siblings the attention you always deserved. Are you trying consciously to parent in a different way? Or are
Definitely.
You following your mum's lead? Was your mum always around? Like,
she was around tons when we were little because she also worked from home. But then she did go and work at Virgin Records when I was about seven. So actually after that, she was at work every day. But she'd be able to come back to like watch matches and stuff. But I loved her being at home. I do remember being a bit sad when she went to work. But then when I was older, I loved her being at work. Like going to Virgin Records as a teenager and raiding the cupboard. I mean, it would just be Spice Girls, like CDs, T-shirts, any kind of like merchandise. Plus, we'd I'd constantly be going to gigs and the after parties and be like, do you want to come and see Blur? Do you want to come and see Blur?
Man, you've had the best teenage years.
My mum snuck me into the Brit Awards every year without a ticket.
Oh, my God.
I sat on Lenny Kravitz's lap next
to
her.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
I know a series of 42-year-old women who would like to sit on Lenny Kravitz's lap even now.
I'm feeling a bit teary hearing that. Have you showered since? I wouldn't have.
Well, it was really bad because it was the night before my A-levels. So I went in completely drunk to do my Spanish A-level. And my friends were like, oh, you kept making this weird sound the whole way through. I was apparently going, like that. Like, I don't know what I was doing. But like clearing my throat, trying to keep myself awake because I've been like out all night the night before.
What grade did you get?
I got 3 A's and a B, but I got a B in Spanish. So
you could have had an A if you hadn't sat on Lenny. I think you should sue Lenny Kravitz
for my B.
Yeah, for your B.
So yeah, so no, I had tons of fun from the fact that my mum worked. And then my dad was always just working, just obsessed, always in the studio with the door quite close. Well, we would go in there sometimes, but I'm definitely 100% more available than he was. But my mum was very much around. But I like being here for them.
Certainly where Annie and I are concerned, it's other parents who get us through the traumas of parenting, whether that be having to have a trampoline in your garden or whatever. Who's your go-to support gang?
My husband is now working from home, which is awesome.
That's helpful.
Yeah, because he used to go into the office like 3 or 4 days a week because he's a lawyer. But now he's got this lovely little office, which we call the woodshed, but it's actually a small, slight, tiny room, which used to have logs in it by the previous owner, but he's turned it into his own office, which he luckily really likes. And so he's here all the time, which is really good. Not today, he's in London, but generally. So he does all the shopping for food and he does loads of cooking and then we share the school run. So I do a drop off and he does a pick up. And then also we're just in the local village school, which is 2 minutes drive away. And outside it is this cafe. And so every drop off and pick up, there's just all the mums and some dads are there. And I was saying the other day, it's like university, because every morning, 9:10 after drop off, just everyone's in there having coffee and chatting. And it's so nice.
I want my kids to go to your school.
Yeah.
There's just a grungy pub outside theirs and it's thankfully shut at 9 in the morning.
Thankfully shut.
How do you drag yourself away to do any work? So what time do you stay there till in the morning then?
About 10.
Oh, how nice.
This is very civilised.
Yeah. Well, shall I tell you something, actually, guys? At my kids' old school in London, we've just moved to Oxford, the parents set up a cafe in the playground.
Oh, well, there you go. So you know.
And it wasn't open every day, but every Friday, parents would staff it and you would stay. And we would stay there till like almost lunchtime, like eating biscuits and talking crap to each other.
It was very, very
civilised. It is really nice because you do become each other's kind of, they're the only people who really understand what you're going through, aren't they? Other school parents.
Yeah, because it really is like kids exactly the same age. And yeah, they, you know, they're all stuck. Well, for me, my son only started school 10 days ago, so it's been so bonding. Ah, the first 2 days were great. I mean, I was like crying for the last 2 weeks of the holidays, like sobbing.
It's a given.
Oh, I was so upset. But then on the day, he was so excited and like literally he got out of the car and ran all the way across the village green and into school and was like, hello, I'm Arlo, I'm going to reception. And he like Q-barged his way in. So I was like quite excited before him. First 2 days, amazing. Then we had the weekend and then Monday, completely freaked out. Take me to a Greek island. I'm not going to school.
I think I'm related to him.
So we've been watching this holiday program with my grandma and they'd gone to the island in Greece where they filmed Mamma Mia. So he's obsessed with it now and he just wants to go there. So he was like properly crying and then he got hysterical and he was just shouting, Greece, Greece, Greece. So we had to let him not go to school because we just couldn't get him to go.
No, you're joking.
Yeah, he didn't
go. You couldn't get him to go.
He didn't go.
Oh my goodness.
That's
so
hilarious.
Then what happened on Tuesday?
Also, luckily, like, our school's really sweet and the teacher, Mrs. Platt, has gone around meeting all the new reception kids in their house. So she came, she was due to come to us in the afternoon that he didn't go to school. So she came over and she chatted to him. And also to me, I really embarrassingly started crying on Mrs. Platt, who I'd never met before.
She'll have seen it all before, don't worry.
But the this is a pretty cool story. Keep going.
Well, I was freaking out because there was loads of COVID in the school. And so one of my friend's sons had COVID and her younger daughter is in my son's class. And they have this sibling policy, it's probably the same at your school. But if your sibling's got COVID, you still have to go to school.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I'm sending my kid to school and he's going to get COVID and I'm not happy about this. And in the end, the little girl didn't go in because she tested positive that morning. So did the whole family, parents and everything. So she didn't go in. But I didn't know yet that she hadn't gone in. So poor Mrs. Platt had me like crying about COVID, crying about me, my son starting school. And my husband was just so embarrassed. He was like hiding around the corner going, oh my God, poor Mrs. Platt. Like she just came round to see if Arlo's like, okay.
Yeah, Mrs. Platt's had a tough week, hasn't she?
She was so nice. She said, well, sit down next to me. Why don't you sit down? And I'm like, all right. And then she was really nice. And then the next morning at school, she was like, Arlo went running in again because he'd now shown Mrs. Platt his bedroom and shown her around the house and stuff.
Well, that was quite a good strategy then of the home visit, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Here's my room. Here's all my stuff. And then she was on the gate now. All the teachers always say, and how are you? And I'm like,
you're going to be the mum that they all cock their head on one side so for. Hello, Arlo's mummy.
How are you? It's really embarrassing. Oh dear. Oh well.
So when you get together with a support gang, is it always at the cafe or have you been out for parent drinks yet?
Well, we haven't yet, no. I did with his like preschool, we did that. But although it was COVID, so it was only right at the end. But yeah, no, we haven't done that, but we will. Oh, I actually had a bouncy castle party on the first weekend of school starting, so they all came over. They've all been over all the
months. A bouncy castle party for grown-ups or for...
Well, it was for kids, but it had a huge pink slide, so the grown-ups were on it a lot as well.
I'm going to say, I think post two children, a bouncy castle party could get terribly wee if there's lots of bumps.
It's a slide, it's fine. You're not allowed to... You just slide down it. Yeah.
Oh, no, I always lower the tone. I'm sorry.
Aww.
Right, much more serious question, Molly. How do you want to be remembered by your kids?
Oh, by my kids? Oh.
Yeah.
Not
by us lot, by them.
Well, just as their mum who they love. And I guess someone who always felt like their greatest champion and like their home, you know? I always want them to be able to like, no matter what age they are, just like come home if they want to and just have someone to chat to.
Oh, you're making me all wobbly because I'm feeling a bit wobbly because she's double figures anyway. And I hope she comes home.
Yeah. Never leave home. Never leave home.
Oh no, she can definitely leave home.
I'm currently living with my mum while our house is getting renovated. She would say that that's a very overrated thing to want. She looked at me this morning and said, will I ever be rid of you?
Wait, but you're living with your mum or she's living with you?
No, we're living with her while our house is getting renovated. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a cup of tea, maybe a night, but yeah.
Yeah. Not with my husband and two children in tow, and it's coming up to a year.
Sure, she loves it.
Not so much. So what's next for Molly? Award-winning podcast, books coming out of your ears. What's next?
Stephen Fry on speed dial.
Yeah.
I do. You know, I would really like to make the podcast and book into a kids' TV show, a quiz show.
I think it would be perfect.
It's got to be slime. Involved
always.
I ran the idea over with my son this morning and he was just saying like, well, he was just really thinking about the slime a lot and how much he'd like to have a bucket of slime on his head. that's as far as I've got. A TV show with slime. Yeah, and just keep making the podcast for a bit and see what happens. Really, we do have this ultimate dream, which there's this really hippie school in Bali.
Okie dokie.
Made out of bamboo.
I think there's a four-year-old who's going to say, well, I want Greece.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to go to Bali, I want to go to...
So seriously, you might move the whole thing to Bali?
Just maybe for a time or something. I don't know, I really want to.
Why the hell not? It's an amazing idea. I love it.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Okay, and now we've gone for the big questions, now we're going for the really silly questions. What's for tea, Molly, and who's cooking?
My husband, definitely. I'm really bad at cooking. He likes making like chicken fajitas and stuff like that. We'll probably have that.
Oh, I could go a fajita for lunch, actually.
Now, Molly, last question.
Yeah.
I want you to imagine that you're tucking Annie and I into bed.
Aww.
We are your children.
And in that lovely bed in your shed, actually.
Oh, you want to go there? Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
I've got my eye on that.
But I can't sleep, Molly. So you've got to sing me your lullaby that you sing your boys when they can't sleep.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not. Off you pop. Come on.
Well, it's a bit weird because it's quite personal. Like, okay, my husband sometimes used to call me Huggle because I like hugs. And so we call my baby Buggle and we call the other one Beeb. And so do you know that song from Sesame Street, which is about a rubber duck?
No.
Yes.
So we just do it to the theme of that. So it normally goes, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time so much fun. But we do... Tiny Buggle, you're the one. You make everything so much fun. Tiny Buggle, I'm awfully fond of. Tiny Buggle, wish I had a whole pond of. Tiny Buggle, we're awfully fond of you.
Yay!
I love it! Thank you so much, Molly.
That
I
might
have expected
be...
anything less creative and brilliant.
Best
from you.
Yet. That's better than Paloma Faith, Molly. I'm fully down with that.
I'll release it next month.
Please
number,
straight
do.
To number one. Right, thank you for being an absolutely awesome guest, Molly. I hope the first term at school continues to go well. Oh. And I can't wait to hear more fabulous questions get answered on the pod.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.